It is a great blessing to be called into God's service. You know, there is nothing better than to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So I have greatest joy and pleasure to call upon our brother Yap Wai Ho to give us his testimony, why he has responded to the call to serve the Lord. By profession, he is a doctorate in life sciences, lecturing at the Ngee Ann Polytechnic. But the Lord has something better for him. And I pray that in hearing his testimony, some here may hear the call as well. For if the Lord is calling you, there is no greater blessing. Yap, Brother Yap, please.
My name is Yap Wai Ho. I'm currently a student at FEBC, and I would like to share with you my testimony about God's call for me into full-time service. I'd like to give you a little bit of background about myself. Okay, I was born into a non-Christian family in Malaysia. My mother was a staunch Buddhist, and my father did not have much interest in religion. So as a child, I had many questions about how I came about, the purpose of life, what happens after death. Though I first heard the gospel when I was in secondary school, it was only at the age of 28 that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This was through a flatmate who was a witness to me when I was abroad doing postgraduate studies in life sciences. Unknown to me, the Lord also provided a wife. My wife was a fellow student in the same laboratory that I worked in. And the Lord has blessed us with two children, a daughter and a son. Upon my return to Singapore, I then worked as a scientist in a research institute and worshipped in my wife's church, which was a church of Brethren denomination. Over time, we noticed changes in the church adoption of charismatic practices. But because we wanted to serve, we took part in many of the activities. As a result of a number of events, the Lord led us to leave the church and brought us here into Calvary Pandan Church. Now, as a scientist, I had the opportunity to appreciate the wonders of God's creation in my work. Yet, I was exposed to a darker side of science, that is the false teaching of evolution. I thank God that He gave me the grace and strength to leave research over the evolution issue, and the Lord has then brought me to a teaching career in Ngee Ann Polytechnic. And now my call to full-time ministry. About 2 years ago, I was reading a morning devotion passage on John chapter 3, about salvation by grace through faith resulting in good works. At the end of the passage, the author presented a thought: he who serves God has a good master. It stirred my heart, and I felt God's call for me to leave my job and go forth to the FEBC to be trained for full-time service. But I was not sure then, because I felt that I did not have the ability nor suitability for the ministry. And I was also in a contract with the Ngee Ann Polytechnic, and I felt it was wrong to break the contract. This was strongly impressed upon me in one of the morning sermons. Reverend Craig had spoken about our need to honor contracts in obedience to God and for testimony's sake, because our God is a covenant-keeping God. I therefore left the matter aside, thinking that it maybe was not God's call after all. So at the beginning of this year, when it was time for me to renew my contract and to make a decision whether to renew, God's call came to my mind again. And I felt the burden to answer the call, but also felt the same doubts about my own abilities. So I shared this with my wife, and we waited on the Lord to indicate. Following this, a series of verses spoke to me in morning devotions repeatedly. This was in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calleth you, will also do it. And also in John 6:27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but labor for that meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father's seal. God also spoke through me through other incidents. In an FEBC night class on the names of God, Reverend Koshi spoke about the call to full-time ministry, and he mentioned that whoever God calls, he will enable. I then went through a period of struggle because of lack of faith. So, because of my lack of faith, I went through a period of struggle. Then, at one point, I even said that this call is my own imagination and refused to consider it further. I then shared this with my wife, and we decided to pray for two things. One, for God to confirm the call, and secondly, if this is call, for me to have the faith and courage to obey. God then led me to read a sermon written by Charles Spurgeon. This was entitled Abraham's Prompt Obedience to the Call of God. So reading the sermon, I felt chastised for my reluctance, for my procrastination, and also selfish attitude towards his call. I thank God, and then I pleaded with God for forgiveness, and I thank God for his patience. So now I'm in the FEBC. The studies have been quite rigorous, but I thank God that I have the blessing to be able to study his word in depth. I pray that by his grace, he will enable me to finish my training and then serve him wherever he leads me. Thank you.
May I request the members here to pray for Brother Wai Ho as he goes through the training at Far Eastern Bible College. And in the day to come, he'll prove to be a useful servant for God. Tonight's message is, Cleanse me, O Lord, know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts. Why is it so important that a Christian not only believes, but puts that belief into practice by living a holy and a sanctified life? To impress on you the holiness of God, and where we will spend eternity with him, please turn to the book of Revelation in chapter 21. And then you will realize how important it is that everyone who names the name of Christ and has the promise of a heavenly home, and that being his destination, will also prepare for that eternal dwelling place. Please remember, our home on earth is but a moment of time. So soon it is over, and then we are gone. Where do you go? And who will you live with? Revelation 21 is a description of our everlasting dwelling place. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. You may wonder why. Why is there a need for a new heaven and new earth? Oh, dear friends, this present heaven and earth that we see and where we dwell in is a corrupted and sin-wrecked earth and heaven. So it will pass away when God has made a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 2, it is, John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Meaning to say, it will be such a beautiful, clean and pleasant place where we shall spend eternal days. That's why we ought all to prepare for this new heaven and new earth. Now look at verse 27. And here is a warning to any who think, oh, never mind, somehow or other, I will get in. Please listen to the word of God, verse 27. And there shall in no wise, no way, that anyone to enter into it, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. This is the reason, oh dear friends, when we get there, we will never have any regrets. This earth and all that it offers today is so paltry and so temporary and so false in its attractions. Do not be tempted and sidetracked. Now to that wonderful psalm from which our sermon is taken. Psalm 139. And the prayer is in verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, who wrote this psalm? The great psalmist David the king. And he wrote this wonderful psalm. I always enjoy reading this psalm. As a gynecologist, I'm amazed that David had so much insight into the process of gestation, that is, how a baby is formed. Do you know how? David knew. And he wrote about it. Then at the end of writing this psalm, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. How is your heart? Who can see? Who can know? It says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? There is a saying in Chinese which says, you know a person's face, you know him superficially, but you never know his heart. Search me, O God, says David the king. Know my heart. Please, Lord, show to me if this heart has got some impediment, some hidden sin. Try me and know my thoughts. You are the great omniscient God who knows everything about everything. Everything about everybody, as we shall see. Verse 24 says, and see, if there be any wicked way in me, which I may not know myself, Lord, you are the all-seeing God. Please look through my heart, my whole life, examine it, and please tell me the truth. And then lead me in the way everlasting. What's the point? What's the use of going a pleasurable path for a while and then ending up in great punishment? Verse 1 of the same psalm, please. God called David to write this psalm for our benefit. It begins, O Lord, how thou hast searched me and known me. You know my downsitting, mine uprising. You understand my thought afar off.
Here is a confession, and it speaks to you and to me. Never think, well, nobody's seeing. God is not here. Ah, dear friends, please understand God is everywhere. He knows all about your thinking, even before you talk anything. He knows what's going on in your heart, in your mind. Every intention is known to God. Whether you are sitting down or moving, all your intentions are spread before God, as the morning news in the Straits Times. God knows it. Do you know? There is nothing we can hide from Him. Verse 3 says, you surround my path, my lying down, all my ways, whether I'm resting, whether I'm relaxing, or running, or traveling, no matter what I do, you are there. Please understand, we have a God who is with us everywhere we are, no matter what you are doing. Verse 4 says, there is not a word in my tongue. O Lord, even before I say anything, you know it. Please understand, this is the great wisdom and omniscient God who is our God, who loves us, who comes down to us and gives us His own Son to be our Savior. So look to Him, for He is on your side, caring for you. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before, in front of me, behind me, whether I'm sleeping, lying down, moving, going about the place, your hand is upon me. Verse 6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. Truly, think of those people who worship idols. With their own hands, they make an idol, put it on the shelf, and then bow to the idol and ask the idol to help and to bless and to do all kinds of favors. Oh, how sad they are. We have a God who is always caring for us. Proof. He gave His only begotten Son. Dear friends, please thank Him every day. Now verse 7 says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up, whether I go up or go down, or, verse 9, I flee by the wings of the morning. Meaning what? What are the wings of the morning? In the morning, the sun comes out and a shaft of light pierces the sky from east to west. The speed of light. If I were to take the wings of the morning and go at the speed of light, 193 miles per second, and I go as far as the east is from west, you are there. Our God fills the whole universe. There is no place we can run away and say God doesn't know where I am. Oh yes. Even if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, there God knows me where I am, and I cannot run away from Him. But understand, He's not a policeman. Yes, He's not there because He wants to catch you doing something. He is there to watch over us. with a loving fatherly love for our sakes, for our welfare. He is there. Thank God we have such a God. Verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, then I can do the dark things quietly. No, dear friends. Day and night to him is no difference. God can see us in the dark just the same as in the day. We have a wonderful God. Verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. What do you mean by this? God is in complete control of us. He guides us. And he knows exactly what we are planning and going to do. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Ah, this is something very strange. How does David know? He's only a shepherd boy. And even when he becomes a king, what does he know anything about what happens in the womb? Do you know? As a gynecologist, I read books, and from books I know something of what happens in the womb, because modern technology has discovered many wonderful things of where fertilization happens and how the fertilized ovum from the ovary will travel through the tube into the uterus and implant. God says, you can see this happening in the womb. So, how did David know? Can you answer that question? Oh, my friends, the Spirit of God inspires him, speaks to him. In his mind, he is illumined. Oh, yes. I began life in the womb of my mother. All of us went through the same. How did we begin? One cell. How big is the cell? It's an egg cell. Don't imagine that like a hen's egg that size. But on the edge of one page here, you can line up 10,000 cells. How small is the cell? And yet, it contains you and me. That's how we began life. How did David know? Inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So that he could say, verse 13, you possess my reins. You were in charge of my development. That's what it means. The reins are what guides the horse in going left, right, and center. So God is in charge of the development of each one of us, even in mother's womb. And that's what it means. Oh, dear friends, how marvelous. Do you know how big is a baby when it comes out as a newborn babe? 100 million cells. From one cell. How big is a cell? On the edge of your page, 10,000 cells can be lined up. How tiny is that cell? And that cell contains everything that will develop into you and me. When we are born, perfectly formed. Mother and father will look at their newborn babe and say, what a pretty babe. Look at their eyes, how beautiful. Look at their eyelashes. Do you understand? Do you ever wonder, how is it the hair grows only on the eyebrow and the eyelash? It doesn't grow anywhere else. Supposing the eyelashes grow into the eye, how can the baby survive? Oh yes, occasionally one eyelash may grow into the eyelid itself. And that gives the surgeon another case to operate. God is a wonderful God. He designs everything, and all the instructions go into one cell. And if the instructions on that one cell were to be printed out, it would take perhaps 1,000 of these books of small print to tell the cell, the one cell, what must happen by the time the child is born 9 months afterwards. Who put all the directions there? You ask yourself, wonder. Our friend is a doctor of life sciences. I'm sure he knows all these things. Life sciences, surely I know. But God puts all the directions. The moment of fertilization, that egg cell now contains half of the chromosomes from mother, half of the chromosomes from father. Together it makes a newborn child come out. And all the directions are encoded in that one cell, eventually becoming 100 trillion cells. Amazing. Who did it? Verse 14. Now this is the crunch verse, the most wonderful verse. I will praise thee, verse 14, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh yes. Do you know that the handheld gadgets you have today, hand phones that can take photographs and do all kinds of messages back and forth, amazing gadgets, so small. All these computer derivatives. Do you know that this small thing, in the old days, would have taken a whole room of all kinds of instruments, things, to process those electrical impulses. Now you play with a little toy, and you message each other, send things back and forth. Amazing thing. Except that that thing cannot think. That thing cannot talk to you. But we can. And David says, God, how I am created, I don't understand. But now if you explain to me, what does he say? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So can we all say, God's handiwork in me and in you is so amazing. 10,000 times more amazing than the miniaturization of computers into small things, handphones and so on. From that big computer down to a little handheld gadget. From a father and mother to produce one egg cell. And that egg cell grow into a human being. Another child is born. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And this human being can think, can reason, can understand the gospel, can repent of his sins, and become a child of God. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. And I thank God for it. Do you thank God? This is the value of this psalm. Verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee, O Lord, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Oh yes, lowest parts of the earth, meaning in the belly of my mother. That's where it is. It's not in an elevated place, but in a secret place. Lowest part of the earth. Lowly part of the anatomy. Thine eyes did see my substance. God's eyes determine how that one cell is going to grow into 100 trillion cells. And make no mistake about it, the instructions will tell that one cell, you are going to produce so many different systems. Nervous systems producing all the nerves, including the eye and the movement of the eyes. That one cell will produce the gastrointestinal systems from the mouth right down to the lower end, with stomach and intestines in between, and all of them functioning in perfect coordination. Do you know? Who did it? How did David know? Do you ever wonder? All that David can say is, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. I don't understand it, but God did it. This is the wonderful God who created all things, including me, when I was just one cell and then became a baby. Verse 16 says, God saw my substance, yet being imperfect. Do you know that at one time we had no fingers in development? There are no toes, only a pad. The whole hand is just a lump of flesh like this. Then it grew and became fingers, and the fingers contained bones. Do you know? Amazing. And all this, who determined it? Who directed the development of the one cell into 100 trillion cells? When David thinks about it, he marveled and he wrote Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being imperfect. When I had no fingers, no toes, you knew all about it, and you commanded the cells to form into fingers and toes. Do you know at the one stage, the baby's eyes were shut? Yes, they could not open because there was no eyelids. It was just a piece of flesh over. And then it grew into eyelids, and the eyelids can open. Amazing. Every stage of the growth of a baby is determined by God. How much does He care for us? Even in the development of a baby, you see God's loving care. And does He want us to enjoy His heaven, new heaven and new earth? Yes. He loved us and gave us His Son to save us, to preserve a place in heaven for you and for me. And He says, keep clean. Because no one who is polluted and perverted in any way, who is full of sin, he cannot enter into my new heaven and new earth. Verse 23 and 24, in closing, we want to think about God's goodness. God who made me, you say, Lord, make it your prayer. Search me, O God. Is this your prayer, dear friends? Make it your prayer. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Sometimes I don't even know I'm such a deceptive creature. Sometimes I don't know even my cunning ways and deception that grows in my heart and the lies I think are good lies. No. God must search me. Try me. Know my thoughts. Even before I speak, make those thoughts to be good thoughts. Who can do it but God? And see if there be any wicked way in me, Lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way that will entitle me, make me fit for the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness and purity. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant to us the desire to be like the Lord Jesus, holy and pure in all our intentions, our thinking and our doing, in our speech and our actions. May our Savior be exalted, and may we prove to be fit for that day when Thou wilt welcome us into Thy everlasting kingdom of light and love in the new heaven and new earth. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We close.